It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I think we are not having the failure to communicate as last week, so hope it keeps up. We've got the smart guy over behind the glass who knows how to fix things like that. So, good. Well, here we are. It's a new year and a new start. Thank goodness, because I didn't like the old one very much.
It's the only red on my page. It's my last year now, which is nice.
And, of course, today this is a very, very special edition because we're celebrating a very, very monumental happening. I speak, of course, about our own Megan Todd, whose birthday is today.
Yes, happy birthday.
And so it's basically her day. A couple other things that are going on in the world, too, but none nearly so important as that. So there you go.
For those of you that don't know, she's the boss. We all report to her.
Exactly. Well, you see her first, and you talk to her first. So after that, she better either handle it or give it to someone who will. But yeah, she's been with us now quite a long time. And mm-hmm. Everybody knows her. Everybody likes her. And we're all very grateful that it has worked out that way. There's some other things happening, too, some of it in Washington, D.C., and places like that. And, of course, some of those are very relevant to what we're going to do today, and we'll get to them in time here. But first, I have to thank everybody for hanging in. Unlike Angela, and by the way, congratulations, Angela, for people who were here before we got here. She has started her new show today with a nice kickoff, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for her and a lot of fun for everybody else because she's been around here longer than we have even. I've done radio longer than she has, but not every single week for some of those years. So she's an old pro, and it shows during her show. So all of the regulars, thanks for always being there, coming back. You do it for one more month, and we'll be starting our 9th year.
That's right.
First Saturday in February. So time flies.
Hard to believe.
It is. Adam's gotten considerably older in that time. I have not changed one lick, of course.
I mean, you look older, though.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well,
I'm not looking in a mirror. I'm talking to a microphone. There's a big difference. Anyway.
You have a face for radio.
There you go. You know, I dress for radio, too, on Saturdays. Anyway, we are going to be carrying on, of course, for hopefully many more years. And it's fun. And the reason it's fun is because you're out there listening. And if you're new and just found the show or somebody told you about it, try to stick around for the whole hour. It's one of the few promises we make anybody is that we promise you'll learn something during an hour if you can listen to the whole thing. Might not be worth too much, but if it's new, what the heck, right? So here we are, raring to go with a brand new year and a brand new sense of optimism. Now, that said, we went into yesterday morning's open needing something like, 230 points on the Dow to not lose money last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other stuff happened. Take it away.
Yeah, going into Friday, I wasn't sure if we would start 2023 on a high note. We saw the up and down trading in the first 3 days. So I think Tuesday was negative, Wednesday flipped back to positive, and then Thursday was negative. And it just wasn't looking really good. The Dow chart, which had looked poised for a breakout just a couple weeks ago, was starting to break down. The NASDAQ made a fresh low on December 28th and was sort of headed back for that level. Overall, things were just not looking very bright. To top it off, the ADP payrolls report, which is generally ignored, for lack of a better word, showed stronger than expected jobs growth during the month of December, which of course was interpreted as bad news in this crazy environment that we're in.
Of course.
Friday morning, the futures were slipping into the red, and I was thinking, here we go again. And to top it off, the jobs report on Friday morning came in stronger than expected on the headline number, and I just really thought we were done with. But that's not what happened. Instead, the futures turned and actually rallied pretty strongly, probably about 300 points up. And it really looked like a strong jobs report had caused it, which is not how the narrative has been working recently. Right now, people are rooting on a bad economy, so the Fed will stop raising rates. As much sense as that makes or doesn't make, that's what's happening. And so a strong jobs report is just not something that I would expect the market to rally on. Well, once you dug into the report, you kind of get it, because those 223,000 new jobs created also caused the unemployment rate to drop from 3.6 to 3.5%. But behind that, hourly earnings were up 0.3% in December, but hours worked was actually down.
This is also good news in a market like this, which is very strange. I personally would like to think that having people working and making more money would be a good thing, but today it's not.
Well, but they weren't making more money because they worked
That's
less.
Right.
So that was sort of the key to the rally. It looks like trouble is brewing. That's what I saw in the report. Temporary jobs fell for the fifth month in a row, and that's something that generally happens at the end of a business cycle. Jobs increased in December, but hours worked did not. The loss of 0.1% of hours worked during the month is the equivalent of shedding 125,000 jobs. So that, combined with the downward revisions of 28,000 jobs created in the previous 2 months, you take the headline number of 223,000, you subtract out the 125,000 lost because of the hours worked, and then you subtract out the revisions to the previous month's 28,000. The headline number was actually about 70,000, which is well below forecast. So there you have it.
And the reason that kind of thing is interpreted as good news nowadays is because they're trying to reduce overall demand for goods and services in the country, the theory being that that will lessen the pressures on inflation.
Yeah, if people have less money than they did the month before to spend, that will lessen inflation pressures.
All right, let's throw a monkey wrench in it. The household survey done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed a positive 717,000 people working. Okay, quick review here. The headline number was 235, and the labor force was up 439,000 people as the participation rate clicked up 0.1. That's fine, right? People not in the labor force dropped 303,000, meaning more people in the labor force, so that all makes sense. And the CES birth-death adjustment, which is the estimate of new business hires and new business failures, that was negative 244,000. So anybody want to try to square that circle? I don't. I really don't. But as you said, the numbers that counted were there.
Yep. I thought the reaction on Friday was overdone, but maybe people were just looking for a reason to rally. And honestly, that brought the Dow back up above in that sort of previous positive trend that we had seen with the Golden Cross and the sort of following its 50-day moving average up. It stayed right on that chart. So it's possible that the big guys were looking for an excuse and this was it.
It is possible. And there's another sort of quiet thing going on out there, too. We're not in the earnings season with the capital E and the capital S, but there are still companies reporting earnings, and they are largely doing pretty well.
The numbers look solid, yeah, for sure.
And that leads me to the one big question that will come in right after the break. Are we really in a recession? Stay tuned, you'll find out. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales. You can reach Ken at First Coast Alarm, number 904-636-7888. Crypto's been in the news quite a bit lately, as it seems to go on and off for a long time. Sometimes it's all you hear about. Sometimes it goes away for a while. But it hasn't really been much fun lately for those people who already owned it. In fact, back in 2021, what seems like an eternity ago for some of us, 35% of Americans were comfortable investing in crypto. That number has changed. I won't tell you what direction it has changed, nor anything else. But today, what percentage of people are comfortable investing in crypto? Just a whole number in the 0 to 100% range. Making it easy on you. And speaking of which, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And if you have any questions or want to take a shot at the trivia or anything like that, we will get you immediately and get you on air. So, finishing up the market wrap.
Yeah, so for the week, all three indexes ended in the black, with the Dow leading the way, gaining 1.5%. The S&P was not far behind at 1.4%, and the NASDAQ tacked on an additional 1%. The only S&P sector that lost or is down for the year is healthcare, and it's just down 0.13%. Communication services is actually leading the way higher. And
it's been a few years since you said that.
Yeah, more than a few, I think.
Yeah.
It has not been a great place to be invested recently, but it is leading the way higher. It is up over 5% on the year. Materials and financials are both up about 3.5%. Mid and small cap stocks did outgained large caps, both up over 3% for the year. International stocks looking really good. They've continued their 2022 rally, with Mexico leading the way higher with 8.5% gain.
Mexico's undergoing a civil war on the
basically
border.
Yeah, it's insane.
You folks, if you try to do this on pure logic, you're not going to win.
You will fail miserably. Germany and China have each gained 6%, while France, Hong Kong, France and Hong Kong are both up over 5%. Commodities have been reversing their 2022 gains so far in 2023. They lost over 4% this week. Natural gas was down 15%, kind of led the way down. Oil was down 7.5% too, so that didn't help. Gold did tack on a small gain of 2.4%. Fixed income saw a nice rally over the week, with TLT gaining 5.6% and AGD gaining 2.2%. This was caused by falling interest rates. The 10-year yield dropped from just under 3.9% at the beginning of the week to 3.56 in the last 5 days. So that's what's sort of spurring on the fixed income market. Not surprisingly, investor sentiment has had more bears than bulls for a record 40 weeks in a row now. If you listen to the show, you know we love hearing that.
Yep.
It's a contrarian indicator. This type of sentiment generally precedes bull runs and sees positive returns both a month out and 12 months out. So good news there. Not guaranteed, but it doesn't hurt. A little bit more of good news. When there's a divided government in D.C., the Dow tends to rally, averaging gains of 11.9% over those 2 years. However, when Republicans control the House and Democrats control the Senate, and there is a Democrat president, Dow returns have averaged almost 24% during the 2 years.
Plus, the third year of any presidential administration is generally the strongest, statistically anyway, the strongest, and we just embarked on that.
Yep, so there is some positive historical precedent there that absolutely does not mean that this will be a good year.
No, but there's a couple other items that I think are really important right now. One of them satisfies an old problem that we've been fighting for a long time and complaining about, and that is that portfolios are now able to be de-risked a little bit because no longer are you getting nothing on your cash holdings. In fact, Adam opened my eyes very wide yesterday in the office when he told me that the new money market fund that we've been using lately is now paying a whopping what?
4.27%.
Now, compare that to your old 0.1 and 0.2.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way for, well, since 08 or so, the only way we've been able to try to help people, especially older people, make some money on their money was to take excessive risk. In other words, buying into the stock market so you could get dividends because the interest rates weren't there. They're here now. That means a lot of older people who are trying to get by on what they've got already, they are now in a position where they can actually start earning some money on their savings. And I am so grateful, well, partly because I'm one of those old people, but mostly because our clients now we're being able to help in a manner that we haven't been able to help them for a long, long time, including the whole time that we've had this business going. There was just no alternative that we could see that didn't involve excess risk. So the key now is to maximize the returns you can get per unit of risk that the people are willing to take. And that involves a very diversified portfolio, which is a topic I want to get further into later. But now I'm starting to see stories in all the financial news about, we all know that last year was the old 60-40 portfolios come down, second worst year in history, I think, for the 60-40 type portfolio.
Yep.
Everybody's saying now, I think it's coming back.
Yeah, it will. I don't know if it'll be early this year, but it will come back in the next probably 3 years. I'd be willing to bet that it gets back on track.
The Fed, of course, has a lot to say about it, and the Fed is not coming back. I think they're as hopeless, headstrong, and stubborn as they've ever been, and I fear they're going to make a couple more mistakes. But at least those kind of mistakes aren't probably the ones that are going to drive us into some big downward spiral.
Yeah, and the fact is the country has existed and prospered under interest rates at this level in our past. Yeah. It is just that we have grown so accustomed to zero interest rates that is why it feels so uncomfortable right now. Yeah. But there's no reason that we have to, that high interest rates alone would plunge us into a recession or would destroy the economy or do any of these things. It's just we are not used to it because of a recency bias where we've been borrowing money for nothing and
liking it.
Yeah, well, we loved it, but it's gone now, so we have to adjust.
Yeah, think of all you people out there listening to this who over the last 2, 3, 4 years decided that rates were good enough that you thought you'd refinance your mortgage loans and did it.
Oh, man, we lucked out.
Kind of chuckling because Adam's got the best one I've heard of yet.
It too.
It's a planned piece of good luck.
Yeah.
The plan comes in because rates are way down and we know we can do it. But the good luck was, I think you just hit it on the day.
Yeah, it was funny. We were watching TV one night, and my wife said to me, I saw interest rates on a home loan under 2% today. And I said, no, you didn't.
No way.
And she said, yes, I did. And my wife does not pay attention to financial things in the way that I do. So it was, I usually know about these things before she would, but she said it. And so I got on my iPad and I looked it up, and sure enough, the 15-year mortgage was under 2%. And I said, if we don't take advantage of this, we're stupid.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You're not fit to advise clients if you don't know enough to do it yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I did mine a little bit before that, but we're in there at 3%. So the people who are feeling like you're kind of downtrodden because rates are so high now, just remember that all of our loans started higher too. We just waited for the opportunity and then jumped on it.
Yeah, and I really like what Angela always said, marry the house, you're not married to the mortgage.
Exactly right. And it can be changed, and there are lots of people out doing it. In fact, listening to Angela with Christine Kennedy on the way out here, Christine was talking about some programs like the 2-1 or the 3-2-1, where if you're dealing with a builder, they will actually buy down your mortgage interest 1 or 2 years by a percent, maybe 2% the first year, 1% the second. That gives you time to catch up. It gives the market time to stabilize. Maybe by the time you would be going up to today's market rate, what you will find is that it's actually lower than what you're about to pay. You don't know these things, but my point is, don't let these rates stop you from doing important things like buying a home if you're in the mood and in the position that it would be a good thing for you to do.
Certainly. And I hear stories from you and other clients about buying their first house at 12 to 17% mortgage rates. And did that stop them from buying a home? No.
And we all think we paid too much because the people who owned the home before we did paid a lot less. And then when we go to turn around and sell it, it's up again.
Yep.
It's a commodity in that regard. And it's not a commodity that has an excessive amount of supply right now. That part has not changed. There are a few more days or weeks on the market now than there used to be, but the home supply almost everywhere is still very, very short.
The other thing is, while commodity prices are falling, that's pretty clear, it is still very expensive. The cost to build a home is not dropped dramatically. Yeah. And so that is justifying higher prices as well.
Yeah, we spent a lot of the time over the last couple of years talking about the prices for wood and copper, things like that. And they just got so out of hand that people wouldn't use them. Now they're coming back to where they're manageable, so people are using them. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you factor in a little human behavior, a lot of things become more clear. All right, lines are open again, 904-222-8255. Trivia questions out there still. I will repeat it as soon as we get back, and then I want to talk about something that surprised me as a concept, and I think some of you might like it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as the announcer just said, lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question, we're involving risk, I guess, because we're talking about crypto. 2 years ago, in 2021, 35% of Americans were comfortable investing in crypto. That number has changed. What percentage today are comfortable with investing in crypto? Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. I'm going to say 35% because I have not, but I know quite a few people who have and lost their shirt on their back, per se. Can I say something first, maybe minutely, sir?
Yeah, please? Sure. Shoot.
Adam and Stephen, I am privileged and honored to be call in for the first show of 2023. Hopefully after 6 months from now, or at least one or two quarters, I may get better on the financial. But your financial wizardry, your financial team gurus, you two and your team is just outstanding. And you're in it from the heart. And if I was a first-time caller, first-time listener, I would detect that right away just by listening to you guys. And I'm probably off on a percentage, but if I'm close and win, we'll just pass that Publix $25 gift card or whatever on to somebody else. But keep up the great work, and I know it's going to be a good year eventually. That's what my pension fund trustee boards tell me. Probably 6 months from now, they said, but we'll see what happens. And don't change, okay? Keep up the good work. And
thank you.
You guys get 5 stars, man.
Thank you. Two things. You're very kind, and we appreciate it. Whenever you call, we'll love hearing from you. But the number in 21 was 35%. So I'm going to give you a second chance to name a different number. I won't tell you if it should be higher or lower.
35% for it or comfortable?
35% were comfortable in 21. What percent are comfortable in 23?
Well, I have my niece and my brother were that those, and we won't talk about the 20,000 they have in there. I told them, don't go over 1,000. One went over 10,000. One went over 20,000. And it's like, I don't even talk to them about it now because it's a bad egg. I'm going to say 12%,
he says. Okay, that's too low.
That's like as of now, right? Like within the last month.
Yep.
Or so.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too low, but you have bracketed the answer for everybody else out there, and I'm sure they appreciate it.
Too high or too low?
Were too low, and 30. It went down. Wow. Now that we know this, it went down from 35, but it's above 12.
You're right on the brand. And guys, take care of you. And if you get any symptoms, I just had a mild heart attack this week, but I'm really okay. It's my 11th and 12 years. You get any symptoms on your health, go to that 24-hour clinic, go to ER, call your doctor, do what you got to do, but listen to your body and keep up the good work. I'm hoping to do another 10, 20 years on this planet to listen to you guys. And then I think you might have my gray hair, but it's all right.
I got plenty of it right now.
I already do as well.
Happy New Year. Thanks for the call.
Guys,
take care
of yourself. It's good advice, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't care what age you are.
Your money doesn't matter if you're not here.
And look what happened in football.
Yeah, that was crazy.
24 years old.
Yeah, that was I think it was one of those freak things.
I've
seen it in hockey before where someone gets hit right in the right spot on the chest, mm-hmm. and it causes cardiac arrest.
Hockey, baseball, and lacrosse are the ones that apparently carry pretty high risk for this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that the risk is high, but it can happen.
Well, yeah, riskier than most sports, we'll say. That as somebody was putting it this morning, you got these guys that are just massive, and they're fast.
Yes, and
this was not one of those.
Everyone I've talked to says the same thing. It didn't look that bad.
It looked like football.
Right.
But, you know, if it does come to light, that he had a pre-existing condition.
That is a possibility, but not necessarily the case.
But everybody, you know, just do it. You know, we started many, many years ago taking care of ourselves, and we pay through the nose and go through a lot of discomfort and so on. And I'm so grateful because now that I'm in my 70s, can't believe it, but I feel like I'm in my 50s. So no problem there.
Yep. A couple of things I wanted to just touch on.
Yeah.
There was an advisor this week who, not great news. Once again, this is why advisors get bad names. He was ordered to pay $1.6 million to a retired teacher for egregious behavior, and I definitely agree that this was egregious behavior. He took her entire retirement and put it in a leveraged 300% gold bull ETF.
That means if gold goes up, you make three times more money.
Right.
Only it's a mirror. If gold goes down,
right,
you lose
three times the movement in gold. And he lost a lot, apparently. And she was ordered to be made whole, plus compensatory damages, or punitive damages. So at least she got the reward. Most likely he's insured and that will pay. So, and he's no longer an investment advisor. Thank goodness. No,
and I wonder, was he ever holding himself out to be a CFP fee only?
The article actually doesn't say. It was she. Think.
She.
And it doesn't say.
So. You're relevant when it comes to those things. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great. And you?
I'm doing well. I apologize for any background noise. I'm in a cargo van.
That's very good, actually.
Packages for Amazon.
Okay.
From Jacksonville to Orlando.
Nice. Okay.
So anyway, I was listening last week, and you guys mentioned a book, and I forgot the last part of it. It began with Atlas, and it was written like in 1951.
Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged?
The second word of the title?
Oh, it's Shrugged, yeah. Atlas Shrugged.
Shrugged?
Yeah, like you shrug it off.
Oh, okay. All righty. That's what I needed. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. You want to take a shot at the trivia?
Yeah, for the heck of it, we'll go with Willie Mays, number 24.
24. It's just, I'm sorry, too high.
Too high. Okay. Yep.
But well, you're bracketing.
Somebody ought to get it now.
Yeah, well, yep. It's like, what, horseshoes, tiddlywinks, and darts? Close counts.
Very nice.
All right. Take care.
You guys
drive
have
carefully.
A super day. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye. Oopsie. Wrong number. This one. Good morning, Leroy.
Hey, good morning, folks. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Good.
You?
Thanks.
Great. Great. Adam never did tell us how he did on his duck hunt.
Yeah, oh, I saw a picture. Wow.
Yeah, it was probably the best year we've ever had out there at my buddy's duck farm.
I'm very jealous because I saw him hanging on a couple of rows and thinking, wow, you could have quite a little feast on that stuff.
Definitely.
Well,
and
hope he had a good time. I'm
definitely
sure he did.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to try, let's go with 21%.
21%, the man says. And the actual number is 21%.
Nice job.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow.
That makes him a winner. And that,
I tell you,
my question.
Sometimes a blind hog.
There you go. Exactly. But my question, and I'm sure you probably think the same way, is who are you people? Haven't you learned anything?
Yeah. One-fifth of the population still is
going to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's so cheap now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. You think that way and you're going to be out of luck. But, you know, somebody's going to do it because greed will overcome everything else like common sense for some people. The rest of us will plod along and watch other people lose their money. Not us. That's it. We've got your
All
address,
right.
So we can take care of everything. And
okay.
Don't freeze to
much.
Death
you
out
guys,
there.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
All right. Same to you.
All right. I think there's something else. Yeah, something else coming in, too, and we'll have it in a moment. Anyway, did you finish up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have another thing I want to get into, but let's get this phone call out of the way first, and then,
okay.
then we're
going to get
that.
A name here pretty soon. Meanwhile, I've got one little thing that's very relevant today, and we're coming up on a break, so we'll probably have to take this one after. But this came out just this morning from the Washington Free Beacon. The truth of the matter, poor people are 5 times more likely than average earners to be audited by the Biden IRS. And as we speak, Chuck, can you hang on through the break? We've only got about half a minute, and I want to talk to you longer than that. But anyway, the IRS, additional 87,000 agents, I believe are being defunded during this show. I think the new House was going to convene this morning at 10, and their first order of business was to defund 87,000.
I only have one thing to say about that. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. But Janet Yellen said that doesn't matter because they're not going to audit anybody under 400,000. Well, more later. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And on the phone, we have Chuck. Thanks for waiting, Chuck, and good morning.
Hi, guys. I was a little surprised at that rally yesterday because, in my view, it didn't change the Federal Reserve rate hiking narrative in any way, shape, or form. And I was just really surprised. Do you think it's because the portfolio managers are so desperate to put fresh cash to work that it wouldn't have mattered what the number was. They were gonna rally the market. I mean, I don't understand it.
I don't think there's, that's probably a common sentiment. I didn't expect it when I saw the number.
No,
I
found it very surprising. Mm-hmm. That I could see half that, maybe,
yeah.
or even something more tame.
Well, we've been trading 300 to 400 points up and down,
right,
up and down.
That's been the standard, not 700.
No. I think your observation is correct. And to me, it just proves one point. You got to get into play and stay in.
Otherwise,
you're going to miss that.
Maybe it wasn't just that number, too. There was a lot of bad news during the week. Both the services and the manufacturing ISM reports went below 50, signaling contraction.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened in quite some time.
I can't hear Adam.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what's happening there, but they're just everything. All the inflation reports are coming down. It's there's a lot to back up the Fed not raising rates as much during 2023.
Have you got Adam back, Chuck?
Yes.
Okay, good. Wait, it was a little technical thing. Yeah, Adam was explaining that there were a couple of things that were really negative. The ISM was
both services and manufacturing showed contraction last month.
And
that hasn't happened for a long time.
No.
In fact, the services one hadn't flipped negative since the COVID crash.
Yeah, and that was a steep one, but short-lived. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on your side 100% on not being able to explain this.
My question to you guys is, do you think it's more likely that the S&P 500 will hit 3,500 first or 4,100 first?
Well, I know what I think. I'm on the optimistic side right now. And this thing that's happening right now in the House is not going to drive a big, big deal, but I think what's going to happen out of this is you're going to see talk about spending restraint, and there's going to be some actual spending restraint, and I still think that's the number one factor going on right now. And Adam's probably more skeptical than I am.
I don't think the government's going to drive this thing one way or another. I think that whether or not we go into a deep recession or a shallow recession is the key to what happens next. Right now, I can make a case for a shallow recession, but if he continues to pump rates higher at the rate that he has been, then I'd be really pessimistic. But if a couple of quarter point rate hikes over the next 6 months, I don't think moves the needle too much.
No, he does this all the time. He sticks his neck out. He says things he shouldn't be saying in advance. Then he feels like he has to live up to it. So he wants to make darn sure that rate goes 2% or above 5%. Maybe that's not necessary, but it doesn't matter.
But that's the target they've set.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And he's just stubborn that way. So I honestly don't see gloom and doom ahead of us. I think it'll be a very fine year for investors. Lumpy, of course. Yeah. The good old days of Trump, where it doesn't go down, it goes up. Bye. That was fun. Won't see you again.
No, we're not there anymore.
Nope. But that's okay. That we're back to normal, in other words. So what's your feeling? You optimistic?
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, I am optimistic about the second half. I'm not so sure about the first few months, until the first quarter. But I keep hearing the talking heads on CNBC say that the market has never, ever bottomed ahead of a recession, and that the bottom comes when we are actually in the recession and not before it. And so that's what they keep saying over and over and over.
Well, I've been arguing for 8 months that we're in a recession.
Yeah. So it begs the question, do you believe we're in a recession or not? It's very hard to say.
When you look at the strong jobs market, it's hard to make a case that we're in a recession. I mean, it just is relentless.
Yeah, that's true. Although this week, Salesforce and Amazon both announced layoffs. So maybe we're coming to the end of that. I don't know. It's if we're in a recession, which I still think that we are, it's the weirdest recession I've ever seen. I've said that since the beginning. But there's just too much that signals that we are either in or heading into one very, very soon, like this quarter, I just really think that we're either in it or we're about to be in it, and maybe it'll be over with. Maybe it'll be the next two quarters and then we're done. I don't know, but that's certainly the feeling that I have.
I got a question for Chuck and Adam. You guys, Sarah and I don't go out to eat to speak of ever, but you guys probably hit some restaurants. Are you seeing the crowds there that we were seeing over the last couple of years?
Still crowded. Still crowded. Yeah.
Okay. I
went out to eat last night after the soccer game, and it was just as crowded as it has been.
Okay. Well, that.
Oh yeah, the restaurants are still packed. And just so you know, I am bullish about this market for this year, but I'm just very skeptical until the Federal Reserve hints that they're going to pause. It's so frustrating that the market is so held hostage by the Federal Reserve. I just wish they would get out of the way so that the market could do its business, but that we don't live in that world.
We don't, unfortunately.
Agreed. I hate celebrating bad news, and that's what we've had to do all year. I hate it.
I do, too.
But I hate it, too.
The old expression, you go to war with the army you've got. If you're going to play this market, you got to play it in a manner that includes the Federal Reserve and a bunch of stupid policies out of the White House, but that's what we're given. So that's that. Anyway, we agree with you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Chuck.
Take care of yourself. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. I have a simple tax question that I need to get to your opinion on. Capital loss limitations. On the back of Schedule D, it says the lesser of $3,000 or your tax loss, mm-hmm. or $1,500 filing separately if you're married. Mm-hmm. How would you interpret the amount you would use if you're single?
Let us preface this. We're not tax advisors. We do tax planning, but don't ever accept our direct answer for a direct tax question as gospel. Call a CPA. Now, with that said, my answer to that is, I don't know. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? I think,
it's $3,000 for individuals and married filing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, thinking about it.
Or $1,500 for married filing separately.
Right. But in all cases except married filing separately, the taxpayer, as defined by the IRS, is the person or persons who file that return.
Right.
So the $3,000 would logically be the limit for single and for married.
Yet another marriage penalty that I hadn't thought about.
Exactly. Absolutely true. there are very few people in the world who would choose voluntarily to file married filings separately, because IRS is so hard on those people.
Yeah, it only makes sense in very, very limited situations. And right. I assume you're not doing that. You are filing what way?
Single.
Yes.
Then you should be eligible for $3,000.
Yeah, that's our opinion. And as I said, always ask a pro. Never count on us. But if you can verify what we said, we believe it, right? Adam's reading off of what IRS.
Yeah.
So the website says yes, $3,000
is okay. Number. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy New Year.
Great question.
Yep. Now the funny thing, one of the funny things that I've learned about taxes is that differential, I don't know what you call it. It's the description. The taxpayer is the tax return, basically.
Except when it's not.
Except when it's not.
Yeah.
So ruling by exception over and over and over again. All right. Well, to all of you 21%ers out there, good luck with your crypto.
Really good luck. It has not been pretty.
Very, very strange. All right. Next week, got all kinds of things to talk about. I'm going to leave you with a little question. And I think it's going to take a couple of weeks to come to it. How many stocks, individual stocks, do you have to hold to be diversified? This is one of the most argued things in all of finance, and I've been working on it lately, so we'll see what happens. See you next week, same time. Have a happy new year. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.